and welcome to Swiss Info's programme for July 20th. I'm Sophie Douay. This week, we'll find out why the Swiss Parliament has decided, in principle, to relax the marijuana laws. And we'll look at conditions for commuters using the Swiss Federal Railways, which has seen a spike in passenger numbers in recent years. But first, football's world governing body, FIFA, this week appointed two legal experts to its ethics committee to investigate the corruption allegations which have dogged the organisation for years. The Zurich-based sporting body has agreed to allow American lawyer Michael Garcia and German judge Joachim Eckert to delve into all issues, past and present, in their attempt to clean up the organisation. The appointments follow revelations last week that former FIFA president Joan Avalanche and his former son-in-law Ricardo Teixeira received millions of dollars in kickbacks during the 1990s. They also come as corruption allegations rage about last year's bidding process for the 2018 and 2022 World Cups and the re-election of Sepp Blatter as president. Garcia and Eckert were appointed on the recommendation of FIFA's Independent Governance Committee, which has been tasked with defining a new corporate structure for the beleaguered organisation. Earlier, I spoke with the head of that committee, Swiss anti-corruption expert Marc Piet, about issues facing FIFA and whether these two experts will have the power to really clean up world football.
First of all, they have full authority. Nobody can block them, and they will have the money they need. Mm-hmm. They will be able to engage forensic services, for instance, police or whatever. They can liaise with state police and uncover illicit behavior. Obviously, it's a process of law. You've got someone who has the role of the investigator, and then ultimately there's a judge deciding whether there's enough evidence to sanction people. And it's an in-house process. There will be, the sanctions will be published. But it's not a state court, if you want. I see a double problem, a dual problem. On the one hand, FIFA represents the entire world. It has 209 members. So it inherits the problems of the entire world, including corruption. The second point, though, is they have grown from, well, a regulator of a game into a multinational enterprise with multi-billion dollar operations every year. So they suddenly have received far more money, and this does not match their legal structure. They have a deficit there, and frankly, in the past, they have pretty randomly been distributing that money. With money, you have a lot of power, but the structure was not correspondent. I think this is an absolutely fundamental step because it allows to go back into the past, quite well into the past, and look at all issues, look at the behavior of individuals, but also of, for instance, how World Cups have been decided. And I think one has to look beyond the people who are in power now. And it would be a real pity if one couldn't build a structure that holds those people who are going to come afterwards true to accountability.
That was Swiss anti-corruption expert and head of FIFA's Independent Governance Committee, Marc Piet, speaking with me earlier. Let's talk about marijuana. Despite being illegal in Switzerland, the drug has been tolerated in some parts of the country when deemed for personal use. Last month, the Swiss Parliament voted in principle to relax marijuana laws, and while the drug will remain illegal, anyone caught with under 10 grams will be fined on the spot but will no longer have to face criminal charges. Luigi Iorio, a journalist with Swiss Info's Italian department, has been covering the issue for us. He joined me earlier in the studio and I asked him what was the problem with the old law.
The law tolerated small amounts for personal consumption. And here is a little problem because how much is a small amount. The laws doesn't fix any amount. The other problem is that in the federal system, the canton are responsible for the enforcement of the law. So depending where you are in Switzerland, you will be punished more or less severely. I know, for instance, my canton, Ticino, it's quite strict on cannabis. So the situation is you don't really know if it's allowed or not. So there is a little bit of confusion. That's where the recent change in the law comes in, because the parliament, the two chambers, agree to fine the consumption up to 10 grams. So we fixed like a limit, and everyone in Switzerland will be punished with a fine, which will be 100 or 200 francs. It's not decided yet. If you're caught by the police with your joint in hand or like a little amount of marijuana, you have to pay on the spot. Actually, it's a change in the procedure. That means that you don't have to go and face a judge anymore. You just have to pay. But of course, many people, especially Swiss People Party, which is the main party in Switzerland, they see this step as a move toward legalization, because they say, you know, it's kind of trivialize the consumption of cannabis. And of course, also association like Parents Association and some doctor association, they want cannabis to be punished and not to be legal. So it's still controversial.
Okay, so Bern's not about to become any kind of new mini Amsterdam with cafes sprouting up everywhere or anything like that.
We saw in Switzerland around 15, 20 years ago, there was a lot of shops actually selling cannabis. We didn't have coffee shop like they do have in Amsterdam, but we had shops where you could find, you could buy legal or illegal cannabis. And it raised a lot of opposition and debates. Nowadays, there's no more shops that sell cannabis. Of course, you can buy all the equipment to grow cannabis, but you cannot buy marijuana. So I don't think Switzerland will become like Holland. But it's interesting to notice like the what they do in Zurich in Basel. There is a proposal to control distribution of cannabis. The positive aspect of this project is that you can monitor the consumer, so you can protect young people, and also you can break the black market, so which is becoming bigger and bigger.
That was Swiss Info's Luigi Iorio, and his reports about cannabis in Switzerland will be online on Swiss Info on July 22nd. Perhaps a victim of its own success, the Swiss Federal Railways has seen a sharp rise in passenger numbers in recent years, putting enormous pressure on capacity. And with numbers expected to increase by a further 45% by 2030, massive upgrades to tracks and stations are underway at Switzerland's major transport hubs in Zurich and Geneva. Swiss Info's Susan Vogel-Masika, an experienced commuter herself, went out and about this week to find out what train commuters really think about the service they rely on so heavily each day.
Ladies and gentlemen, in a few minutes we will be arriving in Bern.
I'm at the train station in Bern one morning in mid-July. Space is tight on the platforms as the people getting off fight their way past those waiting to get on board.
When we go 5 minutes before the train comes, then it's okay, then I have a seat.
But in first class, you always have a seat, or not really?
Not really, no.
Every day, almost a million people hop onto a Swiss train, and many are disgruntled. They've found a voice in Peter Salvisberg, one of the people behind an initiative to ensure that profits go toward making rail travel a better experience. As he told Swiss Television,
the Swiss Federal Railways are always raising their prices, but unfortunately, the level of service keeps dropping. The trains are completely overcrowded. There are toilets that don't work, and that for higher prices. The railway's profit amounts to hundreds of millions of francs, and we find that the money should be invested to improve the service.
Janine Pio, head of the passenger division of the Swiss Federal Railways, is aware that it's often too crowded.
Our biggest problem is that we don't have as much space as people expect. So if the train is full, you have to bring something else. The air conditioning has to work, and everything else has to be good too.
But is it? I tried to find out whether rail riders were as dissatisfied as the Swiss media tend to portray them. And while some blew me off in their haste to get to work, others took the time to chat. like this man, who works for a non-profit and travels second class from Neuchâtel to Bern every day, a journey that takes him 35 minutes.
And how do you like traveling on the SBB train?
No, it's perfect. I like it very much.
Yeah?
Because I read the newspaper and, yes, it's very good, yes.
Do you always get a seat?
Yes, always, yes. It's pretty full, but we always have a seat, yes.
I met a goldsmith who commutes to Zurich from Olten. She has flexible working hours and never has to stand.
At this time, no, there's no fight. But if you go on 7:30, 8 o'clock, so then it's a fight. I think it's quite good here, yes. There are many trains. Every 30 minutes you have a train to Zurich, to Basel, to Lucerne, to in every direction from here. They're always on time, more or less. So I think it's quite good.
A lawyer from Olten told me he found his first-class commute to Bern pleasant.
And so do you always get a seat?
Yes. Not every day, but there is only a few days a year I don't find a seat.
But a communications expert traveling the same stretch in the opposite direction moaned about his journey.
And how do you like it?
Not at all.
It depends. Not at all. So what's the worst part about it?
How can I say? It takes you time. Even if it's only half an hour, it's 1 hour per day. But I know there are many other people that take the train much longer than me, up to 2 hours for one way.
However, he described the Swiss network as fantastic, saying it was a luxury compared with those in other parts of the world. I also met a scientist who described her one-hour commute to Bern as perfect.
You can work, you can sleep, you can do what you want. And between Thun and Spiez, you have the marvelous Thunersee. So it's really, yeah, it's really nice to see the weather, the lake. That's fine.
And the price?
I travel second class, and I think that the price is okay.
But some people find train travel expensive.
Yeah, it's getting more and more expensive. I think it's quite expensive taking the train, but no, what can you do about it? The car would be even more expensive.
Quite expensive, yes.
And what about cleanliness?
Clean? Do you think it's clean enough? The toilets and everything?
I don't use the toilet. The train toilet, no.
Why not?
Because it's like this.
She meant that it was too turbulent on a moving train. A Bern IT specialist agreed that the toilets aren't ideal.
Yes, the toilet is okay. It's not very comfortable. But for a track for 1 hour, it's okay. And the rail bar, yes, when you need something, then you have it on the rail bar. This is okay, yeah.
But not everybody can avail of a drinks trolley. The Neuchâtel non-profit worker told me he wished he could buy a coffee on his train. Technology is also high on the wish list.
I would like to have a better internet connection.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing that troubles me a little bit.
I would install wireless LAN.
The railway's Janine Pio seems to have an open ear.
I'd say we need to go along with passengers' wishes because the expectations keep growing. What people want today is completely different than what they wanted 20 or 30 years ago.
The woman travelling from Spiez didn't have any suggestions, but she said she was grateful for the air conditioning on a hot summer day.
That's definitely better than 10 years before or 20 years before without air conditioning. That was a hard thing to go home afterwards. At 5, 6 o'clock, everybody stinking a little bit.
Now that would be something to make a stink about.
That was Susan Fogel-Masika reporting. And that's all we've got time for this week. If you'd like more information about any of these stories or to download this program as a podcast, visit swissinfo.ch. Thanks for listening. I'm Sophie Douay.